Postcards from Beyond, written and narrated by Paul Harris. Dealing with the dreamy mind. A properly concentrated mind is delightful to experience, and it's well worth the effort involved in learning how to master the skill. Anyone who's tried to meditate, however, knows how challenging it can be. It sounds so simple. To rest content in the moment, watching the rise and fall of things. Yet the reality is that this is not such an easy instruction to carry out. There are many different issues that complicate matters, but one of the problems common to almost all meditators is sleepiness and the dreamy mind. This is when you start watching the breathing, but within a short space of time you find yourself in a dreamlike state of mind, with a succession of bizarre and random thoughts and images floating across the screen of the mind. Sometimes it can be like entering an entire dream world. At other times, all you're aware of is that for a certain span of time, you are not aware of anything. It's like a blank period during which there was no conscious perception, and afterwards there's no memory of what happened. It's been known for meditators to occasionally fall so soundly asleep that only the bell at the end of the meditation or their own snoring wakes them up, which can be a bit embarrassing when it happens during a group meditation. Why does this happen? There are four main reasons. 1. Lack of sleep and general tiredness. 2. Meditating after a meal. 3. The willful avoidance of something undesirable. 4. Clumsy application. Actually, lack of sleep and general tiredness are not so much reasons as excuses. Often meditators assume that lack of sleep is a bar to successful practice and simply do not even try. This is not, however, the case. With sufficient intent and the raising up of mindfulness, it's perfectly possible to treat tiredness as an object of contemplation. This is done by taking particular interest in its physical and mental characteristics and choosing to observe what happens. Investigation stimulates the mind, and taking an interest refreshes it. By letting the whole process occur naturally, it's possible to observe how a period of tiredness comes and goes. Meditating directly after a meal can be a cause of tiredness. This is purely a matter of physiology. The blood supply is being redirected to the stomach to deal with the digestion of the food, and there is simply not enough left in the brain to facilitate its optimal functioning. The answer, as with general tiredness, is to acknowledge the reality of the situation and to wait, mindfully observing and investigating the various sensations in the body. Once the digestive system has completed its task, the blood flow returns to the brain, and there occurs a definite and noticeable brightening and lightening of the mental faculty. Another reason the meditator might become drowsy is as a way of avoiding something undesirable in the meditation. This might be a painful physical feeling, or a painful memory, or an habitual characteristic that we struggle to accept about ourselves. This willful avoidance is the hindrance of sloth and torpor. It's the meditative equivalent of turning to alcohol to experience a temporary oblivion from our troubles. Someone who has had a battle with drugs or alcohol in the past will often experience a lot of sloth in meditation. The only solution here is the systematic setting up of mindfulness with a total willingness to face one's demons and to engage in proper wise reflection to determine what happened and the order of events. Obviously, this process is made much trickier by the fact that when you are asleep, you have no idea what's going on. With enough intent, persistent application, and retrospective analysis, however, you can come to discover what it is that you have been habitually ignoring. Once you know what it is, when it next arises in the meditation, you can observe how the mind shuts down, and with sufficient practice, you can learn how to restrain that particular habit. And remember, whatever the underlying problem is, its nature is transient, and once you see the truth of that, you will no longer be troubled by it when it appears. The fourth reason meditators fall into a dreamy state of mind is through clumsy application. This is concerned with mindfulness and concentration. These two factors of mind are, in fact, especially important in dealing with all the various causes of sleepiness. Much of the problem is caused by not properly understanding that mindfulness and concentration are completely different mental factors and have entirely different functions. Mindfulness is simply the choiceless awareness of whatever is present in our experience right now, whereas concentration is the focusing of that awareness. So, for example, in meditation, you could have an expanded awareness that took in the perception of your body seated in a chair in the room in which you are located. There may also be awareness of the sounds of birds singing outside and the smell of incense. Compare that to one's awareness being limited just to the area of the abdomen, watching intently the minute movements that occur due to the breathing process, but completely oblivious to any peripheral distraction or wider perception. The quality of awareness is the same in each example. What has changed is the size of the area of focus. The reason meditators fall into daydream is because they attempt to develop their concentration first without having sufficient mindfulness. In essence, they replicate exactly what happens when we go to sleep at night. Without sufficient mindfulness, we cannot detect when concentration is giving way to dreaminess, and the mind falls, as it were, into the darkness of sleep. To overcome this tendency, the meditator must first recognize the problem for what it is, that of an imbalance of mental factors. The different characteristics and functions of mindfulness and concentration must be properly understood, and in all cases, mindfulness must be correctly established before attempting to develop concentration. In practice, this means that after sitting down, but before beginning to meditate, you begin by assessing your general state of mind. With proper awareness established, there is the clear comprehension that if you are sleepy, then it's not the time to reduce the area of focus to the breath. It's better to keep the mindfulness more general by investigating and noting contacts being presented at the various sense doors. If, on the other hand, the mind is found to be bright and lively, you can begin to reduce the area of focus. You must, however, use your intelligence and not rush. There is, after all, the whole period of practice to develop concentration, be it half an hour or an hour. It's better to proceed cautiously, always placing emphasis on mindfulness ahead of deepening concentration. As the practice unfolds, you have to gauge the state of your mind. If it begins to become dreamlike, you're advised to bring your attention back to your body sitting in the chair, and to move your awareness around to break up the mind and stop consciousness congealing into a sleepy state. Once this is achieved, you can then try again to focus more exclusively on the breathing. You cannot do meditation by numbers. To become accomplished, you have to learn to adapt your technique to suit the prevailing conditions. It's like sailing a boat. depending on whether the breeze is strong or weak, determines how much sail you let out. In all cases of the dreamy, sleepy mind, the resolution is the development of mindfulness along with intelligent application.